right. Hello and welcome back to Matchroom Radio with David Diamante. That is me. I am your host, and we're in a very special location today. We're on the 71st floor of the Freedom Tower here in downtown New York City, and I'm joined by a very special guest, the Albanian Bear, rising star from New York City, Rashad Mahdi. Rashad, great to see you, brother.
Thank you for having me. How's everything?
Yeah, man, really good. How you enjoying your summer so far?
So far, so good. Now we're just getting ready for the next one.
Yeah, well, October 1st, we're going to be in Milan, and that's a very – it should be an exciting card.
I'd say at the end of the day, it doesn't matter where I'm fighting. I'm just looking to put on a good show and stealing the show at the end of the day.
So, but you fought all over the world. Like, I mean, because you have a – you fought in all kinds of different arts and whether it's MMA or Muay Thai or kickboxing or boxing. You fought all over the place, yeah?
Yeah, I fought all over the place. For me, a location doesn't really matter. It's just – you know, getting the job done, staying undefeated, and you know, putting on the show at the end of the day for everybody else to watch.
Have you been to Italy?
When I was younger, I actually competed in Tuscany.
Okay.
The Tuscany region, and I competed in the kickboxing world championships, and I won over there too. So hopefully, I keep it undefeated in Italy.
Tuscany is one of my favorite regions. Yeah. I love it over there.
Yeah, like I said, when you go over there, you don't really get to explore and all that stuff. So you just go there, get the mission done, and go back home.
Well, I remember spending time with you and your pops in quite a few places, especially in England.
Yeah.
You know, walking around. Was that Manchester?
Manchester. Yeah,
we had a really good time.
Yeah. I love Manchester. I'll go back 100%. So if anyone wants to put me back in Manchester, I'll love to go back to Manchester.
So when you go to Italy, you're not going to – it's business. You're looking at business. It's –
I might stay a few days afterwards, okay. But during that whole time I'm there, I'm looking to get that job done, make sure the weight's good, and make sure the result of the fight comes out the way I want it to.
Okay. So the Albanian Bear, obviously we know you're Albanian, but you used to have different names. Was it Baby Punch and Mad Dog? What did they used to call you, all these things? Where did Albanian Bear come from?
When I was a kid, I started punching a lot, and that's why they started calling me Baby Punch, and I was like, okay, you know, I'll get that. Then they switched to Mad Dog when I was older. To be honest, yeah, nicknames are being given to me. I don't really give them out. So when they came to Albanian Bear, it was obviously because I'm Albanian. And maybe I'm a little bit hairy. That's pretty much. Maybe that's the reason why they call me the Bear. But mainly because of style, because I was kind of aggressive a lot, and I was always trying to go for the kill. It kind of changed now a little bit when I fight, because I kind of sit back and I try to go and pick my right shots and do all certain stuff. So pros kind of changed you a little bit, but Albanian Bear still seems the same. If I hurt somebody, I'm going for it.
It levels to it, right?
Of course.
So tell me a little bit about that. We're going to go back to the Albanian thing in a second, but I like what you just said about how, like, you've kind of changed your style from the amateurs. I remember seeing you in the amateurs. I mean, I was there when you won the Golden Gloves and the Ring Championships. I mean, this is great. What, 2017, 2018?
Yeah.
These were great accolades. What? Speaking of, I'm going to interrupt my own question for another question. You've won so many accolades, you know, kind of coming up in all these different fight disciplines. What were some of those highlights for you?
I won, you know, world championships in kickboxing, Muay Thai, you know, competing. Like, I would say the National Golden Gloves is probably one of the best accomplishments I've won, because I won it with the problem with my shoulders, and I was going there, honestly, going there for a week of just running. I had problems with my shoulders, I couldn't really train, and it was my first big men's, like, competition that I won, and a lot of New York men never won that tournament. I'm talking about world champion fighters from New York that couldn't win that tournament, and I went there and I pulled through and I won it. So it felt like a great accomplishment. But, you know, like I said, kickboxing tournaments from all over the world that I've won, you know, all of them have a different spot in my heart though of accomplishments, because I know how I sacrificed my life just to, you know, win those tournaments.
You talk about having that injury and still winning. When you are going into a fight, which pretty much you always are. I mean, you're with Matchroom now, so you're always, obviously, you're trying to stay active. How do you deal with that? I mean, it's got to be a really tricky thing. I guess you talk to your team and you say, look, is this a type of injury that we have to have surgery on? Is this something I can do with physical therapy? Is this something that's going to have to muscle through? How do you determine that?
Actually, I had that for my shoulder. This was the one that was hurting me when I was in the amateurs, but then I got surgery on my right one. I actually got MRIs after the fight, and I had three tears in my shoulder. And I was telling them, like, I don't just need physical therapy. No, like, you need surgery for this one. Like, it's torn. Like, all three of them are pretty torn. So I was pretty devastated with that. It took me out for 9 months. You got to have the right mindset. You got to have the right things to come back into the thing. I was really heavy when I came back. I came back overweight. Like, I was pretty heavy, so I ended up losing all the weight. It's all mental at the end of the day.
A lot of it is. A lot of it is. Speaking of weight, you were campaigning at 147. And from what I understand, you're thinking about going down to 140.
Yeah. Eddie tells me all the time. Eddie's like, listen, I see a lot of little weight you can lose there. He points at my stomach a little bit. He's like, yeah, you can lose a little bit of that belly fat.
Chichos.
So eventually I'm going to go down to 140. Like, even last fight, I weighed in at 145. And I didn't work out the day before the fight. I didn't work out. So I went there 2 pounds on the weight, and I was like, I can make 140.
So when you say you came out of that surgery and the 9 months overweight, how much did you weigh?
I was 185 when I weighed in.
Wow.
And I never hit over 170.
Okay.
And after that, I was 185. I looked on the scale. I was like, yeah, I got to start running.
Was it just food, or do you think it was just lack of activity, or both?
I think it was both. You know, one weakness of mine is Mountain Dew. I love Mountain Dew. So I constantly was like, just keep drinking it. So when I'm off and I'm not worrying about it, that's the drink that I'm going to drink. So that, and then I usually run a lot. So the doctor telling me, don't run, don't do nothing. So you have a couple months of just eating that, drinking all that soda, and then just not working out, it's going to go up.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, that'll take its toll for sure. What are you a food guy though? What kind of food do you love? I mean, you're a native New Yorker.
Yeah, so you gotta go for pizza.
Dude,
yeah,
gotta go. I just had great pizza today.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, I was uptown with a friend. I had a business meeting, and he's an older guy, and he's been going to this pizza spot for like a long, long time. It's his favorite. So had some slices today. Yeah. It was great.
I mean, I'm a plain guy. Just cheese pizza, just cheese slices. That's good for me. But you know, I think Staten Island has the best pizza in New York, but you know, a lot of people are like, oh, get out of here. So Staten Island's a pizza, or you have like L&B's and you have different sources of pizza. So me right now, I'm on a diet. So pizza for me is no go.
It's
out of the question.
I've actually been on a diet myself. I've been eating really, really healthy, but I did break it today for the pizza.
Yeah. Hey.
It's funny. My buddy knew it too. He's like, are you sure we could go somewhere else and we could get a salad? I'm like, nah, cause I'm headed off to England next week.
Oh, okay.
I got the Josh Warrington fight. Ooh, and then we're in Barcelona, Spain. So I figured, you know what? Might as well have a couple slices before I go.
Yeah. Why not? Cause you're not gonna get no good pizza out there though.
Absolutely. So you grew up in Staten Island.
Yeah.
Tell me about Staten Island. I mean, I know about Staten Island, yeah. But for the listeners, it's the fifth borough, right?
Yeah, it's the forgotten borough, definitely, for sure.
You know, but let's talk about Staten Island. What was it like growing up over there?
I was always like, you know, did my things, and I was never really a person that really ran out and did certain stuff. It was either go to school, go home, do my stuff, and go work out. You know, I was doing 2-3 workouts a day. So for me, I had I pretty much sacrificed my life for boxing. So
it was kind of regimented from the beginning.
Yeah, it was always like that since the beginning. So I always did my things when I was younger. I competed all over the world. So a lot of people I was kind of a little more mature my age compared to other kids, because other kids, they still wanted to go hang out with their friends and do all that stuff.
Sure.
Me, I just wanted to get my job done and that's it.
What was school like though? Like, did you have a good amount of friends in school?
Oh yeah, yeah. Everybody knew who I was. Like,
but like, did you afterwards, don't you want to hang out with them, or like you're at the gym?
I was at the gym. Like,
you had your eyes on the prize.
Yeah, I had stuff. I was usually competing like 2-3 times a month. So like, I was pretty active when it came down to competing. I was really, really active. So my friends all knew that it's going to be hard there. So that's why I was kind of a little bit of a talkative one in the school, because I would try to get all my talking out in school. And then afterwards, like, guys, I'll see you guys later. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Teachers were like, Rashad, quiet.
Yeah, my sisters were like grade A students. I was the one. I was like, listen, Rashad's the one that does a little too much talking here.
Right, right, right.
So it was like that. That's how it was.
Hey, you're a friendly guy.
Yeah, exactly.
But so check it out. So your mom is American, right?
Yeah.
Your dad's Albanian.
Yeah.
So who got you into the fight sports? Like, when did that even start? Like, you said you were baby punched. Like,
yeah. My dad was always first we started off with soccer.
Okay.
My mom's Albanian, but she's born in Jersey.
Okay.
But my dad, we started off with soccer.
Okay.
And then I ended up breaking my foot, kicking the floor. I missed the ball completely. So I kicked the floor, bam, my leg. So my dad was like, yeah, no more of that. So
okay.
I came up, we passed by this gym, and I said, I want to try it out, you know, and we tried it out. Started off as self-defense. It started getting better, and then you started pushing me to do some competitions, and I just
How old were you?
I was four.
Wow.
Yeah, four and a half.
Wow.
When I first started competing. So it
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was. I'm always like a person that's like, I hate losing. I'm the biggest sore loser. Like, I hate losing. Like, that's one thing I never want to experience, but eventually people are going to have to experience it.
No, it happens.
And,
but
you know, the competitiveness is like, I hate losing. It doesn't matter what I'm doing, especially when I'm playing video games and stuff like that. Like, I don't play for fun. I play so I have to win. That just keeps my competitiveness going. So that's just how it is.
So let me ask. So your dad, didn't your dad fight also?
Yeah.
And your grandfather.
Yeah, back over in Albania.
Now, he used to train your pops?
Yeah, like when they were in the military.
Okay. So does he ever tell you stories?
Oh, yeah, all the time, man. All the time.
What are some of the crazy stories?
With them is that they just fight for fun, man. Over there, they just fight just to fight. You know, for them, it's just different. For me, I do it as a business. For them, they do it to have fun and all that stuff, and either to handle out some grudges. But for me, it's business. Like, that's how I treat it with it. To me, it's a job. So I get the job out of the way, and then.
But do you enjoy it?
Oh, I love it. It's something that I always think about, and I don't see myself ever retiring from it. But eventually, you're gonna have to. But
because you know, it's funny. Like, not to interrupt you, but I was talking with a buddy today, who fought Muay Thai, and I was very involved in the Muay Thai scene for a lot of years, many years ago. And one of the things I love about that sport is even at the upper echelon, these guys don't make any money. It's all about the love.
Yeah.
They're just fighters. They're straight fighters. And there's a real purity to that sport. I mean, it's brutal.
It is, yeah.
It's really incredible. It's brutal. But it's beautiful. but it's for the love. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think that some people, you know, when you're like, oh, it's just business, I hear you, but like, I want to know that there's that love there too.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm saying it's a business point like that. So like, when I go to the guy, I'm not going to fight the guy because I hate him, like, you know?
Right, right.
I go in there at the end of the day, I'm going to go in there and let's go get some dinner or something like that. Like, nothing's going to be hatred, you know? There's no hatred towards the guy.
Wait. What happened? What happened with that fight? Was it the Ringmasters with Alex Vargas? What happened with that? With his people screaming at you, his family?
Man. Maybe they were trying to get into my head. I don't know. He's a very nice guy. I love Alex. I love his family. I think it was one of his cousins was like, they looked me up and they were like, stick to kickboxing. Like, and they were like, you know, cursing me out. And I'm looking at the people. I'm like, and he's like, and even him during the fight, he was like, don't worry about them. And I was like, you know, in my mind already, I'm like, God. Damn, man. I'm like, no way they just said that to me. But, you know, my family, then, like, we bring, like, a crazy amount of people. Like, I brought a lot of people to MSG. And you've seen it. Matrim's seen it.
Absolutely.
And he brought a lot of people. So, like, half the place was his, half the place was mine. And they were getting ready to, you know, fight each other. I was trying to tell my uncles and stuff, like, yo, guys, relax. It's over. It's done.
He's the Boricuas from Long Island, the Puerto Ricans from Long Island against the Albanians from New York.
It was crazy. Like, that was, like, the only experience that I've had, like, when my family was getting ready to fight in the thing. And they're usually never, never aggressive like that.
Yeah.
But it was good. That's the only time I was like, you know, things are getting a little too serious now, so let's chill out.
Well, the Albanians run deep here in New York, right?
Oh, yeah. The Bronx, Staten Island, Queens, they're all over the place.
Yeah, all over. Bronx especially.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I got a lot of my Albanian people up in the Bronx.
Yeah, there's where I'm from in Dibor, Macedonia, that they're in Staten Island. But everybody else, like in Montenegro, you know, Kosovo, like, they're in the Bronx. Yeah,
they're on the Bronx. Yeah, I got a bunch of boys up there. And, you know, do you know, like, Elvir Mariki?
Yeah.
And, like, Skender Halili, yeah. Enver Halili.
Of course, yeah.
Stevens Bouyai.
Yeah.
I mean.
Actually, Elvir messages me. Mariki messages me every time before fights, and he wishes me good luck and all that stuff. There's a very small group of Albanian fighters, but we all, like, stick together, you know? Even, like, it's a different standpoint when it comes down to fighting, because, like, usually you see, like, a Puerto Rican fight another Puerto Rican, something like that. Like, you Albanians don't want to see another Albanian fight each other.
Right.
It just doesn't work out. Like, we never really had interest in it. We never really will have interest in it. Unless you have, like, a personal vendetta against them.
Unless there's a beef.
Yeah, and then you might see it happen. But other than that, like,
well, because, I mean, look, we got Florian Marcu, of course. He's got big name, great guy. With Matrim overseas in England, and he's making a name for himself, super popular. And he, I think he's campaigning about 147 also.
Yeah.
So you guys are kind of right there. Would that ever? No.
Nah, Eddie told me he said no too, and we both agreed to it. No, like I've known him since I was a kid. Like I was in the amateurs, like that 13-year-old Prodigy video that came out when I was in that age.
Right.
He actually saw it, and I used to talk to him all the time.
Yeah.
You know, Eddie was never really, you know, like that, you know, like kind of like, oh, like kind of aggressive, like the way he is now with, towards me, you know, but with him, like he's a very nice guy. Like,
oh, he's a great guy.
He's a very good guy. Like so with him, I've known him since I was 13, 14 years old. I never had a problem with him. And he's a fellow brother of mine. So I never had no desire to fight him.
What about though, if you guys could fight on the same card, let's say? If we could bring a car, because look, we're doing shows all over the world, right?
Yeah.
Like as we're going to be in Milan,
yeah,
we're doing a show. We've done a lot of shows in Italy, which is great. We've been in Tuscany. We've been in Rome. We've been in Milan. Now we've got this show in Milan for you. We're going to be in Barcelona in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So we're all over the world now. What about Albania? Do you think that's a possibility?
That would be a very big card. But my, like I said, like suggestion wise, like I think the whole card should be like one Albanian fighter each. And have that way. But obviously, you know, Florian will be the headline. You know, he's the guy with the bigger following. He's the guy that a lot of Albanians know. So him, he'd be the main event. You know, obviously, that'd be... And he's born there. Me, I'll go there. I definitely go there because I have a lot of fans, Albanian fans that know who I am. So for me, like, that would be a crazy, crazy experience. I think there never was a big card like that in Albania, ever.
It would be... I think it'd be amazing. And I'll tell you... I've obviously worked in a fight game for a lot of years. I've done a lot of fights, but some of the most incredible fights that I've done, I did a fight with Skender in Niagara Falls, and he fought Jason Thompson, and I think it was like round three. It was called the round of the year by Ring Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It was insane. I don't know if you guys noticed this fight, but both guys got knocked down.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And he won, and Skender won the fight. And after that, I said, Skender, no surrender.
Yeah.
That's your new nickname. I came up with it for him.
Yeah, well, him, he was tough as nails. That guy, you would see him get a little phased, like, in the beginning of the fight. Like, you'd get hit. And people would think, like, all right, the fight's done.
Yeah, that's what happened in this one.
He would come right back and you know, he had that little Albanian fire in him, and he would go and knock somebody out cold.
What is that Albanian fire? What is that? People talk about that. What? Tell me about that.
You know, it is, and I'm starting to see it now. You know, it's like this weird little fire that, you know, we hate getting, like, having that person have that little advantage. You know, so, like, say in the fights, like, I have my cousins. Like, my cousin's, like, number one in the nation right now in the U.S., 178. It's going to be a monster. They have the same thing. Like, I used to have this when I was younger, too. Once I get hit, and I get hit one time, like, I have to land, like, three or four.
You got to get back.
I have to get back, and I have to give him a little extra just because he landed that one.
That's that fighter mentality. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a fighter mentality, but I also feel like that's the Albanian mentality, too. Like, Albanians, especially Albanians,
I feel like it's mentality. A New York mentality.
Yeah, maybe. I think you're right.
Yeah.
So that's how it is. And with them, it's like, you land one shot, and he's like, yo, I got to, you know, I can't let this guy, like, disrespect me like that. Like, I have to get him back. I have to get him back even worse now. And that's just how it is. But now, like, once, like I told you before, like the pros, like now I got to relax. And if he hits me one shot, it's okay. I'm going to get him back eventually, but I got to really take my time and really not get too aggressive.
Sure, sure, sure. Do you know Stevens Bouyai?
Yeah. I mean, we weren't really
super close.
Yeah, super close, but I've known of him. We talked here and there, not too crazy, but he's a good guy too.
I did a fight for him again. This is a fight I'll never in my life forget. He fought, I think it was Junior Wright. It was in Brighton Beach. And early in the fight, he got his jaw broken, and he just continued to fight, and it became, it was a draw. It was unreal. I mean, what a fight.
Especially breaking your jaw, that's no joke. That's an injury that...
Oh, I mean, absolute warrior.
Yeah.
Absolute warrior.
You see now some fights here and there, you see the guys, they get hit one shot, and they sit down, and they're like, oh, I can't continue. You know, breaking your jaw is no joke. Breaking your hand, like I broke my hand the two fights ago. Those injuries, they kill, they hurt, you know. Adrenaline won't save you from those. A lot of the adrenaline kicks in and you think like, oh, adrenaline, I'll be fine with adrenaline. You'll feel it. You'll feel it. Especially a jaw break. That's no joke.
No, it's no joke. Especially when you get tapped in it.
Yeah.
Again, after it's broken.
Yeah, exactly. So you may think it's just trying to keep your hands up, hiding your jaw, and then
I've seen a lot of fights stopped from that. I've also seen guys fight through it. But Joe Smith Jr., we did a fight with him at the Aviator, and that was his first loss. He broke his jaw.
Yeah, and that injury is no joke.
It's
injury alone, even with Gamboa, when he tore his Achilles and he still worked with Javonte Davis.
Yep.
Those injuries like that, you never heal from.
Yeah, they're very tough.
Yeah. Now, once you break your jaw once, now that's it. It's going to be prone to it.
So what do you do to keep yourself fit so you don't have injuries like that? Well, I mean, obviously a jaw break, you can't.
Yeah, I mean, with that, you have to, like, double down with your recovery. A lot of fighters now, before, they never took seriousness with their recovery. You know, you do your workout, you do your training and stuff like that, but recovery should be part of training.
And what does that entail? Is that just relaxing? Is that going to a cryo? Me,
I never was really a fan of cryotherapy. I would go here and there, but they say, like, 30 minutes of that is way better than of an ice bath. A legit ice bath is way better than that. Okay. Epsom salt baths, those stuff, they help recovery.
Yeah.
You know, those Normatex, give you those the ones that put air into your, it's like you put it over your arm or your legs and it puts air.
Okay.
And those help with your stuff too, you know. And even physical therapy, you know, chiropractic, you know, going there once in a while, you know, once a week or something like that, that helps your body tremendously.
You're still out there at New York City Cops and Kids at the PAL?
Yeah, yeah.
With Sosa?
Yeah, Sosa. You know,
Patty
Sosa
Russo.
Pat Russo, you know, those are the guys that, you know.
Teddy Atlas?
I don't think Teddy Atlas is there no more.
Yeah, actually, he left that gym, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I think he said that, you know, he couldn't work with the foundation no more. So,
sure.
You know, I appreciate everything he did in the meantime like that. You know, I never had bad problems with Patty, Teddy Atlas.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, he did what he did at the time, and that's it, you know?
Those guys, Sosa, his son is still fighting? Julian?
I think he's trying to work his way back in.
Okay.
I'm, you know, I'm not really sure what the thing was, but, you know, it's like a small group. That's a small little family.
So, you got Nikita Abavi's there.
Yeah.
You did have Richardson Hitchens, Africa. Yeah. He was there, and he did well.
Yeah, he's still doing very well, you know.
Yeah, he's with Mayweather now, yeah?
He's with Mayweather now, with the Mayweather promotions, so he's doing very, very good, you know. And
also, Shushu.
Yeah, he's switching over to the dark side, you know. That's what I tell him. That's what I tell all the amateurs.
Yo, I remember Shushu as like a 7-year-old out in Brownsville, East New York, doing fights.
Yeah.
You know?
He was my first fight. You know, he was my first fight ever in boxing.
Really?
Yeah, he was my first fight.
God, that must have been a long time ago.
I was 7 years old. 7 years, I think. I was seven.
But you guys fought more than once, right?
We fought three times.
Yeah, because he beat you at 132. Didn't he beat you?
Yeah, he beat me I think 2016 Golden Gloves.
Yeah,
it was like, oh
yeah,
it was
really
so
close.
And I was like, I fought. That was the third time we fought, and I was like, I got him. And they gave it to him. I was like, damn it, I can't beat this guy, man.
Yeah, for the listeners out there, if you don't know who we're talking about a guy named Bruce Carrington. Great guy, New York guy, and been boxing his whole life, and he's turning over real soon. And so really excited to see Bruce in the pro ranks. But he comes out of that same gym.
Yeah.
And then Chris Colbert, Showtime.
Yeah, that's right. The interim world champion, man. He's different.
He is different, man.
He's different.
You know, isn't he doing something with businesses now? He's got businesses.
Yeah, he got that prime time chicken, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's actually really good.
I'm proud of him, too, man. I'm really proud of him, too. That whole crew out of there is just great. You know, there was also Nkosi Solomon.
Yeah.
I know Big Baby Jarrell Miller used to train out of there. A lot of really great New York fighters were out of that gym.
Yeah.
And, you know, huge shout out to both Arielano Sosa and Patty Russo.
Absolutely, yeah.
For both guys, the work that they do in the New York community, it's just amazing. And they're very selfless guys.
Absolutely.
And good guys. And they put in so much work, man.
You know, I can never, you know, repay them for the stuff that they've done, especially, you know, Pat Russo's done a lot, you know, and he was always the guy that was under the radar. He would do all that stuff and not be like, keep me out of it. You know, like, I don't want to be known.
He doesn't want his name in lights.
Yeah, so for him, he was a guy that was always like, never got the, you know, the thank you that he should have deserved. And to me, I tell him every time I see him, I'm like, Patty, thank you. You know, for everything he does, you know, that's the guy that's, you can't repay for everything he's done for you.
He's a selfless guy, and he's one of the heroes in our community. I love Patty Russo. And I've been knowing him since I was in boxing.
Absolutely. He's been there for a while.
He's true blue, always true blue. Mm-hmm. You know, fastball down the middle of the plate, you know what you're getting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's no curveballs.
Nope.
Yeah,
nope.
There's no curveballs, you know.
Straightforward, and that's, you know, that's rare nowadays.
Yeah, it really is. So he's a great guy. Shout out to Patty. That's great that you're still there. So what's the gym, what's the dynamic in the gym like now? What happens with, because so Nkosi Sollum's not there anymore. Obviously, Jarrell Miller's not there anymore.
I think he's...
Jarrell's down in Florida, isn't he?
He's Florida, but I think when camps come in, I don't really know the situation. I guess, you know, because right now he has no fight date, so we
right,
don't know
sure.
how the reaction is going to be. But I think he comes back and forth.
But what's it like when, because you guys are like brothers.
Absolutely.
Especially like Nikita. I mean, you guys have been together for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happens like when a guy like goes and let's say moves to Vegas or goes, does something else? What is that like? Is that hard? Different dynamic in the gym.
I guess it's different. I mean, for me, it's pretty simple. I just cross the bridge and come to train out. You know, whenever the fight's coming for them, and then when they ever like officially move, who knows? Maybe they come back and they stay and they do the camp here, or they'll have Sosa for maybe 1 or 2 weeks when we not have camp and stuff like that, and do the camps over there. So it really is. It really varies on how the fights are gonna be, who's gonna be the opponents, and. If it's a huge fight, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Sure. So tell me, I mean, we've talked a lot about the fight game and all that kind of stuff. And actually, speaking of what I'm going to get into a couple other things in a second, but I want to know about this. You went to Albania and you actually fought there, didn't you? Did you train there?
Yeah. I went over there to try to sneak my way into the Olympics, the 2016 Olympics.
I heard you had a hard time.
Oh, I mean, to for the fights and stuff like that, because over there it wasn't regulated. It was like really, really like it was. I was wearing gauze, and they're like, "Yeah, you can't use gauze."
It was just
like,
renegade.
They were like, "Just use regular hand wraps and go fight, no headgear." You know, at the time, and I was like, "Okay," you know. And the guy came in like, I think 4 or 5 kilos over, and 4 or 5 kilos is almost, you know, 8 to 10 pounds overweight. So they're like, "You want to fight?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll fight." You know,
there's weight classes for a reason,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah. So, but I mean. I was always like that when the amateurs. So I was like, I'll go up and wait to fight somebody. I don't care. So we went over there. We ended up winning, you know, but they were like, yeah, I'm sorry. You're still too young. And I was like, okay, fine. That's fine. I was like, I don't know why you brought me out here, but, you know, it's a good experience.
Was it a good experience?
Yeah, it was. I mean,
it's a learning experience.
Yeah, that was the first time I actually got cut, like, on my face. The guy headbutt me in the face. Like, he was getting upset because he couldn't hit me. And so he grabbed me and he headbutt me right in the face and cut me right underneath my eye. I got pissed, and that was the first time I actually fought, like, mad. So it taught me some few things. It taught me a few things, and it definitely was a lesson learned. And, you know, would I fight there again? Absolutely, I would.
Do you typically not fight? You don't fight mad?
No, definitely not.
But
most of the time I'm smiling, I'm laughing.
But, like, can guys piss you off?
Oh, of course. You know, one person that loves to piss me off when he's sparring is B-Hop.
I can see Chris Colbert. Yeah, of course.
He loves to talk and loves to, you know, get
That's him.
His main thing is to try to get into your head.
Oh, yeah.
And once he gets into your head, then he's going to laugh. He's going to get in your head. So most of the time when he spars, you know, it's going to end up leading to a real fight.
Little B-Hop.
So that's one guy that loves to try to get into somebody's head. But other than that, you know, I stay nice and cool. The last fight, the guy was trying to get into my head. Listen, I have B-Hop sparring all the time. If this guy thinks he's going to get in my head, he's got the wrong thing coming. So,
but you've fought so many guys over the years. I mean, you have a win over Brandon Lee.
Yeah.
In the amateurs, right?
Yeah.
And you fought Teofimo Lopez and Ryan Garcia.
Yeah.
Now, you lost to them, but those were split decision losses,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Well, Teofimo, they had my name checked as one, and they had to scribble it out, and they checked me as lost. Like, they changed it.
Wow.
Like, last minute, they were like, oh, yeah, never mind. Yeah. Change it. I'm like, come on.
And
that's amateur boxing for you.
That's well. And then you beat Virgil Ortiz, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. But Virgil, I love him to death, man. That's the nicest guy in the world, man. Him, his father, those are the nicest people in the world.
He just had a huge win over Kavalauskas.
And he got rocked the first round.
And he got rocked and he came back. He showed a lot. He showed a lot.
He's a guy that I've known for a while, and he's one of the most down-to-earth people you'll ever meet in your life. Him, his father, and he's tough as nails. That dude's tough as nails. Like, he's a guy that will give a lot of problems. I think he'll give tough problems to Crawford. So,
you think they're going to make that fight?
No, I don't think so.
Not yet.
Yeah, they still try to get him with Spence, and it never happened. So,
sure.
I don't think that fight's ever going to happen, to be honest with you, either. unless it's gonna be like a super big fight and Verza becomes huge, like a huge name, and it's more money for Crawford, then that'll probably be the case. But other than that, I don't think so.
Well, I hope Spence's eye is okay. I just pray for him. I hope he's all right, you know. So hope he's able to fight again.
I hope so too.
You know,
he's different too.
It's a lesson for boxing. It's like one of those things. Sometimes people overcook these fights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's certain fights that just they make themselves. You know, it's like it just they come to a head, and the fans want them. And so when they overcook them, sometimes it's not a gimme that they're gonna happen.
It's only gonna make it harder that he's getting hurt, you know. And unfortunately, it happens. But you know, when you have different injuries and stuff like that, it's life.
Happens.
It's life, you know. Unfortunately, some guys they'll never get injured and stuff like that, and some people they get injured like that, you know.
Yeah.
And I can't say nothing because you know I had my hand, I had my shoulder, you know, so I had all these different things. So, you know, I pray for you know Errol Spence's recovery, you know, and hope to see him back in the ring.
Absolutely. So let's know some stuff about you personally, because we talked a lot about the fight game, but who is Rashad Mahdi? Like, what music you listening to?
Believe it or not, it's weird for me. I've been listening to a lot of 80s lately. 80s music?
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. I could, you know, I try to get like a different theme each fight, and it's weird that I'm a big like old school wrestling kind of guy. Like I used to love like, you know, old school Triple H, old school Macho Man Randy Savage, those were like my thing. Like,
right.
You know, every time I used to go my scrapbook and I just write down, like, I try to draw different outfits and try to match their theme.
Yeah, you're big into the outfits, right?
Yeah, oh, I'm huge, man. I'm
so wait, is there something big coming from Milan or what?
It's gonna be good for like the Albanian people. Like,
okay.
They're gonna like it. Okay. You know? But that's for like overseas stuff. Like overseas, I know there's a lot of Albanians in Italy.
Right.
So for them, this is gonna be like the Albanian. This is for the Albania and all that stuff. When I'm in the U.S., like that's when I'm gonna go. Like I always go heavy duty. Like especially last fight, like I had the Chris Jericho theme.
Right.
And I had like the stuff all over the arms. I had lights all over the things, and everybody was like, even Stitch the Cutman was like, I want the jacket. And I was like, you can have it, but meanwhile, I didn't want to give him the jacket, man. I love that jacket. So for me, like, outfits are a big thing to me.
Right.
Not to my dad. My dad hates the jackets. My dad's right. Like, plain. Make it plain.
Adrian likes the Mike Tyson look.
Yeah, he wants to
cut a hole in the towel, stick it over. There's you're good.
Yeah, that's how he wants it. Me,
old school.
I want it like, yeah, kind of like how Canelo had it, you know, with the lights and the fireworks and all that stuff. Like,
beautiful.
For me, like, an entrance is a big thing to me. Like, if the entrance comes out the way I want it to, like, it'd be nuts. Like, it'd be all over Sports Center. It'd be all over the place.
So what's your plan to get there to where the fans know more about you and love you and want to support you?
I guess continue to be me. You know, at the end of the day, you're going to have people that are going to be, you know, rude and talking garbage and all that stuff. You're going to have that regardless. It doesn't matter who you are. I'm sure Canelo gets thousands of them a day. Ryan Garcia, I know, definitely gets a lot more because he's being him.
Right.
You know, there's nothing you can do about that. Let him be him, and that's it. So that's just what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep being the guy that I am now. And, you know, if people catch on to it, people catch on to it. If they don't, I don't care. You know, I'm still doing my thing.
You're
going to
do you.
I'm just going to do me, man, and you know, keep the fights going the way that I want it to go. Keep trying to get these knockouts, these stoppages in a fashionable way, and then that's it, you know?
And you're doing it, man. And you're doing it. And it's exciting. I love watching you fight,
thank
man.
You.
I
thank
always
you.
Have since you were an amateur.
Thank you.
And I'm so excited you would match room because I get to call most of your fights.
Yeah, oh, man. You know,
been a pleasure.
The few, like, two, three fights, like, that was in two fights that was in New York, in Florida, and you weren't there. I was like, it's not the same, man.
I know. I'm sorry. I was in England.
Yeah,
we were doing
England.
The fights over there.
I was like, it's not the same. But
yeah. I've been able to do most of your pro fights, which is great.
Yeah. My favorite one was Arizona.
Oh, yeah. That was the fight with Chavez Jr.
Yeah,
and Janny Jacobs.
Yeah, that was my favorite one.
Yeah.
Because that was probably one of my best fights there. And then the outcome at the end was pretty crazy. So that was.
I get really excited calling your name out. Yeah. I'm like, Mahdi!
You see, I'm looking at the thing and I start smiling, man.
Yeah, I get really hyped. Yeah, I know there's about to be some action.
Yeah,
you know.
Especially the last fight was good because, you know, I went the distance with the guy was really tough, you know.
But you need that though, right?
Yeah.
In fact, speaking of, didn't you said you hung out today and you saw our guy Edgar Berlanga?
Yeah,
I mean,
it was like a few minutes, but, you know, I haven't seen him in a long time.
Great guy. Everyone knows he's on this big tear, knocking everyone out in the first round. Yeah. And now he just went the distance. So these are the fights, you know, you kind of need those fights, right? Because at a certain level, you know, you start fighting monsters.
Yeah.
So
he is a monster.
Yeah.
He's a monster.
Oh, he is a monster. And so are you. And so you, but you're going to start fighting other monsters, and you want to make sure that you, you know, by the time you get there.
Yeah, I'll be ready for him regardless. It don't matter. You know, I've been, you know, trying to chat in Eddie's ear, like, give me Amir Khan. Give me Amir Khan. I want Amir Khan. So I've been trying to get into his ear, and I keep trying to push it and push it and push it and push it, but so far, you know, I haven't got a response back yet, so we'll see what happens with that.
I think Amir's got a couple of different things on his plate.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Bigger fights.
Conor Benn's been calling him out, and obviously the Kell Brook fight. Yeah. They want the Kell Brook fight.
Yeah, but I don't think, you know, he just got a new coach. So do you think if you get to a new coach, you think you're going to leave?
Yeah, who knows?
You know, if you have a new coach, you'll be here for maybe one or two fights.
Who knows?
Maybe three fights.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say.
But, you know.
And he's had a long career, so.
Yeah, it's all right. He can do one or two more. Maybe
he can
three
do
more.
One or two more.
It's okay.
Yeah, well, what's the projection for your career? Who do you like? Where do you want to be? Who do you want to fight? Any, or do you just want to stay busy?
I want to stay busy right now, but at the meantime, I still want, you know, Amir Khan definitely is on my list. You know, I'd say Kell Brook too, but I'll do one of those two fights and then maybe move back down to 140. Officially.
You think you're ready for a Kell Brook?
Yeah, I think I'd be ready for him. Yeah.
Even right now?
Yeah. Next fight's going to be, you know, even though it's my next fight's going to be an 8-rounder, I'm training like I'm fighting for 12-rounders, you know, at the end of the day. Listen, I had nothing towards them. I never had them, like I want to beat them because I don't like them. Those are great guys that, you know, that have been in the game for a while. So by beating them, it put me in that name. It put me in that bracket. Because who recently just fought them? Great guys. You know, Triple G, Canelo.
They're at the top.
Terrence Crawford just fought them. So, you know, if they're able to beat them and I'm able to beat them, you know, in that fashion, it'll put me in the name in those mix. So I definitely want them, you know. But definitely my main goal right now is to go down to 140. I know eventually Josh Taylor is going to end up going up to 147. So, you know. There should be some belt up for grabs, and I want some.
There you go. All right. So are you good with answering a couple fan questions? I know the fans have some questions, so let's get to these fan questions. Okay, let's see here. All right. Let's see here. Joel Boots Brandon asks, Rashad, you've grown up around various fight sports. Who were your idols as a kid?
I definitely got... I got the honor to meet George St. Pierre a couple times. That was definitely one of my guys. That was one of my favorite guys. Bruce Lee was number one. That was always, like, my favorite guy to watch. And Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. When I saw him in Arizona, I lost my mind. I was, like, a fanboy. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, yo, my favorite fighter's right here. I couldn't believe it.
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. So those three guys and those three different sports, they were just, you know, very big impact in my life. And they kind of made me the guy that I am. You know, those guys weren't guys that were showboaters and move around, but they got the job done, and they were considered pound for pound the best in the sports and in history.
Is your grandfather still alive?
Unfortunately not. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did you get to know him?
From my mom's side, I got to know him, but my father's father passed away before I was born.
So you didn't get to meet him, but
no, I didn't. Yeah. He actually had my name. He had Rashad Mati.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. But I'm just wondering because I learned so much from my grandparents, you know, when I was coming up, and considering that your grandfather fought and your dad fought, I'm just wondering what kind of stuff you learned from them.
You know, I feel like it's just like, my grandfather from my mom's side showed me what fighting was. You know, he had cancer three times, you know, and he beat two of them, and, you know, he kept fighting and fighting and fighting. And even when he was, you know, kind of on that time where he knew he wasn't going to make it, it still was like, you know, the only thing that was stopping him from, you know, going to the other side, it was his heart and his brain. You know, that guy, it showed that, you know, he was there, you know. So, you know, I guess that little Albanian thing in me too, and, you know, I had the family in me too. So in those guys, you know, Albanian men are just different, you know, and especially in my family, I feel like those guys are like superheroes. You know, you don't see them, you know, going away. You know, you see them living forever. So, you know, when you've seen that little side of them, you know, and it's like a little weakness, it's weird and you're not comfortable with it, but it's life at the end of the day. But they're all fighters at the end of the day. It's just how it is. You know, they're doing their thing, you know, supplying for the family. They're doing their parts, and you know, the names live on.
And your mom and your dad, I mean, they're with you all the time at the fights, and they're so supportive.
Of course.
And they're great people.
Thank you.
That must be a great feeling to have a family that's really behind you like that.
Of course. My mom's like nuts, like, when she fights. Like, I remember when I fought in L.A., I was only hearing her voice. She was like, Shanti! Like, screw it. I'm like, yo, mom, stop. Stop. I had to, like, I hugged him, and I was like, yo, mom, stop. Stop. But she gets, like, super nervous. My dad, he gets nervous, but when he's nervous, he stays, you know, still and quiet. My mom screams. She screams, and you can hear her from, like, I can hear her from over there from Staten Island, so... I can hear her from
just right there.
Yeah, right over there. I can hear her.
Okay. Second question here. L. Pendleton asks, given what's going on in the world, you've only managed one fight in 2021 so far. How much would you say COVID has impacted your career? Thankfully, you're still young.
It was tough. You know, a lot of the fights that didn't happen the way I was supposed to. You know, first I broke my hand in December, and that was kind of rough. I broke it in two spots. I couldn't believe I broke it in the first round. Mm. And that kind of put me away for 5 months. Then after this fight, I actually was having problems with my jaw, and I had my wisdom teeth, like, grown out completely. And they were like, yeah, you need to get these removed as soon as possible. But thank God there was no cards in stock. You know, no, there was no cards.
So it was actually good.
So it kind of worked out, like, in that way. So I got it removed, and now I'm back in the gym. I'm training. Ooh, excuse me. And, you know, they gave me the first card, and I said, put me on it. I'm ready for it.
Okay.
So
it hasn't been terrible.
You know, it's, you want to be active. I don't want to sit around. I'm here to be active as possible. When I first turned pro, I fought three fights in a matter of 3 months. And when I first fought, I fought twice in 1 month alone, my first fight and my second fight. And then again, when I came back from my shoulder surgery, I fought October, November, December, and they all were fast fights. You know, so. You know, I want to stay. I told Eddie too, and even that, when I told him, I was like, when I fought in December, I was like, yo, I want to fight in January. Like, put me in that Jake Paul card. Like, I'm ready. He was like, no, you gotta take a break. I was like, all right, fine. But whenever cards after this fight, I'm like, yo, listen, next one. Like, I want it ASAP.
Do you want to stay busy?
Yeah, I want to stay super busy.
All right, the final question here. Pierre Papin asks. Here we go. You fought Ryan Garcia, Virgil Ortiz, and Teofimo Lopez as amateurs. Who was the best of the three then and now? Good question.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. You know, they're all three different styles. If you think about it, they're all very, very different styles. Virgil's a little bit tall, but he's super aggressive. He doesn't get tired, you know, and he works and he hits hard.
How'd you deal with his power?
I tried to just not. I didn't want to test it, so I just hit and run. So I was trying to hit, move, and I just, you know, try to get out of the way. Teofimo, it was a weird fight. I fought him a weird way. You know, I beat him. I thought I beat him the first round. I fell asleep in the second, and the third round I picked up, and I thought I won it. You know, even with Ryan, I told Ryan
was in Reno, yeah.
Yeah, in Reno, Nevada. Yeah, that was for the U.S. Nationals. You know, we actually, it was funny because all of us were in the same weight class that year. All of us won. Like, it was me, Teofimo, Virgil, Ryan, and Devin Haney. And
it's quite a list.
Yeah, and all of us were in the same thing. And I lost to Teofimo, which kind of bummed me out because, you know.
Again, split loss.
The split loss, and like.
And you thought you won it.
Everybody was booing. I don't understand it, but that's USA Boxing, you know. USA Boxing, they always do controversial stuff, and it gets kind of annoying. But and even he says it himself too. Oh, it's not fair to USA Boxing and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, it happens to you too. You know, you get the favor sometimes too. But even Ryan, like when we were kids, and I got a point deduction in the third round, I thought I was winning the whole fight.
For what?
He kept grabbing me, so I kept just trying to throw punches, like pot shots. And he went down and said, oh, he hit me behind the head. And the referee grabbed me without even a warning. He took a point off. And wow. I said, oh, okay. I was like, all right, I lost this fight. At the time, you lose a point, that's it. The whole fight's done. So you're already down technically two rounds.
That's it.
So I was like, okay, I guess I lost.
It's a different game, the amateurs and the pros, you know.
Yeah, you have three rounds. And I never understood it. I said three-minute rounds. I'm like, at the time, I was like, that's a lot of minutes. But now when you turn pro, and I'm like, that's nothing.
It's nothing.
I can work three-minute rounds like nothing. I can throw bombs all fight. That'd be crazy. But if I had to say right now, I mean,
Get straight Hagler Hearns it.
Yeah, I just you sit in one spot and just swing, pop, pop, pop. But if you had to go by accolades and who's the best right now, you would have to say Teofimo because he has all the belts. If you think about it, Ryan, then
absolutely.
But then you, Ryan, it would be kind of in the middle between Ryan and Virgil because one has a WBC silver and one has a continental WBA intercontinental, I think.
So many belts these days.
WBA is just like, here you go, here you go. It's like a deck of cards, like, here you go, here. So it's just weird. But even that, WBC is silver. What is that?
So suppose I'm hearing that the Lopez-Kambosos fight might be here in New York at the Garden.
That's good, but Teofimo's not even from New York. Like, I don't care what anybody says. He's not. I never seen him at a New York card. I never seen him at a New York fight in the amateurs. Like, oh, I've been in the amateurs since I was four.
No comment.
I've been in this since I was four. I'll say it. I don't care. So, I never seen him in New York. So he's like, I'm representing New York. I'm like, bro, you're from Florida. Represent Florida. I mean, it's cool that we have a New York, you know, unified champion. But you're from Florida. You've been in Florida all your life. So
I think he was born in Brooklyn. His pops is from Brooklyn.
Okay, so his father's from New York, but him, if he was born in New York, okay, like that. But you can say you're born from New York, but you're representing Florida. You're born and raised. You fought every fight in Florida. You know, I never once ever seen him fight in New York in the amateurs. Even when he fights over there, he's still representing Florida in the amateurs.
Would you want that fight again?
Oh yeah, 100%. I heard he's moving up to 140. So
How do you think that fight would go as pros? Like, what would the difference be? I mean, would you like? I'm trying to pose the question. I'm trying to think of how I want to pose the question. Obviously, you're a different fighter. He's a different fighter. You guys are both more experienced. You guys are both have your man strength now. Yeah. But would you go in with a different plan?
You know, it's weird because I don't actually watch my opponents fight. Like, I don't watch them on. I don't like to watch them. My dad does it. Sosa does it all the time. I like to, you know, feel them out during the fight. And whatever works, I'll keep going for it. You know, every time we sparred, you know, I feel like I had the advantage. Every time we fought, I felt like I had the advantage. So I feel like, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he definitely, listen, I'm not saying he didn't change. You know, I'm not saying that he changed and you know, he's a different guy now, stuff like that. But, you know, in that mentality, when you're fighting a guy and you have that guy's number, technically, you know, it feels different, you know. And I feel like, you know, if I fight him, I feel like I have definitely a game plan because he's not taller than me. You know, at the time, we were the same height. I'm different, not him.
Well, I hope we get to see that fight. I'd be really excited to see that in the future. Rashad, always a pleasure to see you, man.
Thank you.
I love you, brother.
Love
your
you
pops,
too, brother.
Adrian. And send love to your mom from me also. And listen, fans out there, look out for Rashad, his next fight, October 1st in Milan. That's the Daniela Scardina card. And this is Matchroom Radio with David Diamante. And until next time, have a great day.